Hello and welcome to the Data Development Podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Hannah Flynn. In this show, I'll be chatting to data experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and want to hear more from us, you can follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify, or you can join our Slack community. Thank you and enjoy the show. So welcome to Venturi's Voice. Today I'm speaking with Simon Asplund-Taylor, Chief Data Officer at the Rank Group, who's recently been shortlisted for Data Leader of the Year 2019. So Simon, today we're going to discuss all about how businesses can extract the value of data. But before we get into the discussion, can you give our listeners a bit of background on you and your experience and your kind of career background?
Yes. Hi, Anna. So my role at Rank as Chief Data Officer is really trying to drive value and insights from data. And I suppose, you know, in joining Rank, I brought those skills from things I'd done before, where previously I'd worked at Regis and working with the operations team, we were sort of driving revenues and margins significantly. So we managed to increase margins by 64%. Previously did some work at Lloyds Bank, which was a business case where we ended up driving £1 billion of revenue per annum using business cases, again, working with operations underpinned by data to drive that value. Similarly at Tesco, you know, following the largest corporate loss in UK history, trying to fix the data and clean that up ready so they were in a better place. And at Bupa, fixing the regulatory and reporting issues in the insurance part of the business. So all of those sort of data-driven activities that really made a big impact on the bottom line of those businesses.
And I guess for different objectives, I guess for getting kind of organisations really pushing forwards, or for actually just the objective, sounds like, for example, for Tesco's, that just getting them to where they wanted to be, to be in a kind of level playing field. So that sounds really interesting. And can you give us a quick overview of the Rank Group and what you guys do over there?
Yeah, so Rank Group has an interesting history. Started in 1937, and I guess is well known for some of the films that it used to produce. Also owning things like the sort of Hard Rock Cafe as it used to. But now it's very much focused on a couple of things, which is the Mecca Group and Grosvenor Group, which is bingo and gambling. But interesting from my perspective, because as an entertainment organization, the volumes of data we have are amazing. So that was the challenge coming in to look at the data.
And what I thought was interesting about Rank, the way the kind of organization sells itself on the website, obviously a really well-established brand, really well-known kind of companies within the brand as well, like the Grosvenor Casinos, Mecca Bingo. But what I liked about the kind of the ethos of the company, it seems to be all about responsibility and making sure that it's obviously sustainable, but all around using innovative technologies and services, investing into people and products to make sure that customer experience is exciting and entertaining, and it sounds like quite a nice kind of ethos for the industry to have. So hopefully that kind of comes across in the work that your teams do, I guess.
Yeah, and I think there's several parts to what we do. One is that we are a heavily regulated industry, so we take that responsibility very seriously in terms of data, and it's probably no different to the way financial services used to be and still is. So that responsible gambling side of things, understanding customer behavior and using it in a way to support our customers, that is one of the things that probably differentiates us, I think, from some of our competitors, and that is very much data driven. Making it a good experience is something that many organizations try and do. So we try and be, you know, as good as, you know, retail organizations who are trying very hard to do those things. And from the, you know, the most interesting part for us, having been a business that has been fairly static for a while, is to now try and generate more revenue. So I think the thing, you know, about how do you help get more value from existing customers, generate new customers using data? And that's the bit that will help us, you know, drive up the revenues here. So all of those three things are very much underpinned by data.
And I guess a very different type of organization to work in from the likes of Tesco's and Bupa and IBM. I guess it's a great string to your bow, I guess. And you mentioned in your notes that people talk about data being the new oil, and it's funny you say that because I've just done another podcast and that's exactly what that the guest was talking about as well, and it's so true, isn't it? But few people obviously can articulate how you do the mining, extraction, refining, and things. And I know that's what you said you know and you do. That's kind of your passion, I guess. Why do you think that is such a struggle for so many?
I think it's about bringing together all the different elements of data. So I think if you look at the roles that have been around in the past, data was very much part of technology, but technology only steers you down one particular aspect of this, which is about building things and delivering functionality. But that's only a small part of data. So I think very rarely has there been a chance for, you know, chief data officer role to bring, you know, those things together all at once. And it's only when you unite the kind of, you know, 10, 11 things that you have to do around data that you actually get the values. So if you build a warehouse, we know the majority of those projects fail, and they fail because they have the wrong starting point. We know that those technologies change on a regular basis, and we've gone from warehousing to big data to kind of all kinds of new technologies, to artificial intelligence, machine learning. So that change has been rapid, but there is a common denominator, which is about if you drive value, then you start corralling all those different aspects. So those things to me are having a data strategy, and by articulating how those things come together, it's much easier to start making sure the organization treats those things as things that have to work in unison. Putting together a customer lifecycle, working out where on your customer journey data is relevant, where you apply it, where you communicate with your customers or capture information from your customers, going cross-functional, cross-geographic, because that's generally where you get most value from data, training people, not just treating people as being part of your team, but also setting up a community across the business. And I think that's critical, really. So all kinds of people who use data, who create data, who build components of that, they all act as a community and talk to each other. And that's a key part of this, as well as the, you know, skills, data governance, data quality. If the data quality is not there, then people don't buy into it. As well as, you know, the bit that I mentioned last, which most people treat of as being the first thing, which is the data warehouse, data lake, and, you know, the repositories of data. So it's only when all those things come together that you start to get the value.
Okay. And it's, I guess, making sure that you start with the strategy and make sure that the overarching strategy is robust for new technologies coming in and for things changing or technologies going out of fashion very quickly and not being realistic for the problem anymore. And then all about kind of working your way down right to the very kind of bottom nitty gritty parts of getting the value out of data rather than, like you say, doing it almost the other way around.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to the comparison with the oil industry, it's very clear because when you get oil, you then have to refine it and you sell it. So it's a very clear process. With data, that process has never been so clear. So the strategy is the bit that says, this is how we're going to exploit the data and how do we do that? And you need to have all of those capabilities working together. So I think that's the starting point. And if you don't start with a strategy, if you start by building out the data capabilities or just extracting data from systems, you're going to fail because you're not really sure why you're doing it or because you're working in silos. So I think absolutely strategy has to be the starting point for that. But probably, you know, it's worth mentioning a couple of things. I mean, if I look back and the comparison of oil, you know, in 2008, the biggest company in the world was Exxon. You know, 2018, the biggest company in the world is Apple. In fact, the top nine biggest companies in the world are all data driven. And I think the simple lesson is that, you know, out of those, which are obviously, you know, Google, Amazon, Apple, Intel, Microsoft, Uber, Twitter, you know, all those businesses yeah. are all investing massive amounts of money in data and AI. So I think the fact they're doing that tells everyone else that that's important. I mean, Google are investing $3.9 billion in data and AI. Amazon, $871 million. They're all massive amounts. The likes of Exxon, you know, I mean, their business is all about oil. They're not investing in data at the moment. And I think that's, you know, that that shows in terms of performance of businesses, really.
And like you say, I mean, nine out of the 10 biggest firms in the world are underpinned by data. How data can underpin the value of businesses is really important. How can companies start to adopt this?
Well, I think the starting point is that the business case has to be done at the right level in an organization. I think that's the starting point. So if you speak to a chief exec and you turn around and say, you know, we believe that we can uplift your or maybe not ask the, you know, ask the question, if you're trying to uplift your revenues, you know, by 200 million, and it's underpinned by data, if you identify those activities required to do that, and therefore you know data is required to do it, you can then put in a different sort of investment case than one of, we need a tool to do data governance, we need a tool to do our data quality, we need a warehouse. So if you start off with those technical discussions, you're in the wrong place. But if you can say data underpins at least 50% of the uplift in your company revenues, then the level of yeah. investment and the level of engagement by the business is very different. So I think that's what I'm saying about, in the past, it was owned and run by technology. When you bring yeah. data teams, the chief data officer, out of technology, you're then able to have a business-focused discussion on the value it brings. And that enables you to bring all of those individual activities together under one roof and start driving value. So I think that's number one. You've got to start there.
So talking about the outcomes before even thinking about how you actually, potential outcomes, I guess, before you actually even think about what you're going to do to get there. How do companies go about, kind of, once they've got their objective, this is the kind of revenue that we feel we can bring to the business off the back of the work that we can do. You as a CDO, what do you do as next steps to kind of actually impact and implement this?
Yeah, and I think there are various ways that, so probably the big question is how do you start that journey? And I think it's yeah. in multiple places. So if you understand how all these components come together, you might start with marketing and understand that, you know, they are trying to do some clever things with their CRM automation, trying to improve the customer journey, trying to improve where they can target customers, or, you know, through cross-selling and upselling of different things, you can. At some point, there is a digital marketing process that you need to engage with. And that's where you apply some of the data. So that would be one of those things. I think, you know, just making sure the business are clear on what KPIs they need to run different parts of the business. Generally, those are not yeah. clear. And when you challenge them as a data person, what you find is that they might say, well, something very generic. And then you say, I've now got to turn that into data. So I need to keep asking the question, well, what's underneath that? And you end up with very clear and measurable KPIs, and you work out what data is required to support them. So whether that be from a, you know, customer visit perspective, or whether that be from a responsible gambling perspective, have you spoken to the right people who've got challenges around that responsible gambling, or whether that be diving into, you know, cost challenges you've got, you do comparison across different clubs or venues you've got and see which ones are more expensive relative per customer. So when you start looking at all those KPIs and then you map the data to it, it gets you on that journey of trying to fix real business problems.
And I guess using those KPIs, it's almost like, it's almost in the same way that a software development team would work through a project in an agile way. You would, I guess, use those as your kind of, you know what you need to do from your kind of backlog of different kind of issues around making your way to your end goal, and then you use those KPIs to measure how closely you are to being successful, I guess. Which sounds a really interesting kind of way to work, and to, I guess, the culture of the team is everyone knows where they stand, and the business understands the value of what your teams are doing if you're kind of communicating in that way. And obviously most investment into data is through kind of disparate teams and technologies. How can companies join this up through a coherent strategy rather than being very kind of segmented to drive more value and fund bigger projects with bigger revenue opportunities?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One is that the strategy has to be something that's not just written, but is then applied. And everything you do, you bring back to the context of that strategy. So if you have, typically in an organization, you'll have multiple data teams. And it could be one individual working in HR doing something, or it could be a whole team in marketing doing things. So how you bring them together is to make sure that you start with something like the data community. And then over time, you can start to say, well, because not all of the activities need to be owned by a chief data officer. And this is one of the things I'll come back to, is that it doesn't matter who does the work as long as it all aligns. And what happens over time is that those people then start figuring out themselves how things can be better. They naturally work with people who can help them. So you don't have to start off with a radical view of let's bring everyone into one team and see how that works, because generally that's pretty tough and doesn't necessarily make people happy. But I think when you bring the community together, then people are all aligned to the same goal, which the strategy set. You then start empowering people to say, well, I've got this data set and I've got this data set. You identify, though, there are challenges in there. You bring those things together and you all start working for the same goals. You get a few good exemplars who are doing things and everyone goes, oh, I like what they're doing. I want to do that too. And that's really the way that you bring it all together. And then you look at the different technologies that are around. You might have different BI technologies. So it could be, you know, Tableau and Click and Power BI. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you find that, you know, people are doing different things. And ultimately, you all agree when you're working on things that you can't share information. Therefore, you need to standardize on one. And it's done naturally. So I think forcing things generally doesn't work, because you get into turf wars. But when things are driven on a more natural basis, which is let's chase the value, what do we do here, those decisions become less political and become more aligned to the outcomes. And I think, you know, that's the thing I would always come back to. It's not always perfect, but it's always a lot easier to do when you're chasing the value.
And you speak about the data community, which I assume you mean kind of the internal data community within Rank, for example. How much do you encourage your teams to get involved with the external data community, obviously learning about what tools other people are using, the successes that an organization has had, for example, with Power BI or something else that's new and kind of up and coming? How much do you encourage your teams to do that and to get involved with other organizations or other communities?
Yeah, I think there are several communities. So and they do all pull together. I think first of all, you know, the data community, by my definition, is everyone across the business within the Rank organization. But then we bring in to present at those sessions the likes of Microsoft and Click and Warescape and others who will come in and say, well, this is how you could do things better. And we create an opportunity where people want to learn and improve what they're doing. And that also links into our regulators as well. We end up getting involved in their data initiatives and things, whether that be about providing data to research or monitoring our activities. And we have discussions about the challenges we've got of managing our data, as do they. So we get involved in that. But I think also with through the vendors we have, we get involved in talking to other organizations who've got similar problems. And that could be different industry, but if we've got challenges around data governance and data quality, you know, we would talk to firms who, and it doesn't matter what industry they're in, who've got similar challenges, and try and share some of those and understand how they've done something which is interesting to us that we haven't been able to do.
No, that sounds really interesting. And I guess it minimalizes the risks of maybe investing into technologies that you would learn later down the line just maybe weren't quite right, I guess. But obviously you've got a lot of experience around kind of huge data transformations. As you said at the beginning, you've had the opportunity to work on the largest business case for data in Europe for Lloyd's, work when you're at IBM, and have done some amazing work with Regis, and trying to do a similar thing at Rank at the moment. Can you give us some insights into how you've actually gone about these massive transformations, and how you've personally dealt with it from a chief data officer perspective?
Yeah, I think my starting point was I learned a lot from someone at IBM who suggested that if you were trying to do something on a larger scale, you had to talk about the outcomes. And it was a particular example of trying to provide the technology for a telco. And all he said was, all IT costs about 10% of your revenues. Therefore, we'll set up a contract where you just pay us 10% of your overall revenues. And as your company grows from two or three customers to several billion in India, we will make sure we support you on that journey. And that to me was a bit of a revelation about the fact that if you're going for that sort of number, and you're saying we will provide everything you need and you don't need to think about everything, then actually you stop those discussions about what type of technology it is, what types of resources you need. You do focus on the outcomes. So I think having that discussion with a chief exec, if you start talking about warehousing, you start talking about data governance, either they become disinterested or, you know, kind of get fairly switched off because they can't relate to those things. So I think the starting point is always to talk about what can we do to support the business growth, and talk about it in terms of the overall value and how much of that value is underpinned by data. That once we've had that discussion with your, and it's only with, you know, two or three people, it's a CEO or CFO, or maybe COO, once they get that, then you're away. And typically most discussions are driven by, you know, CIOs or heads of technology who are thinking about very sort of granular things, which is not really where this sort of work should start. Yeah. So I think by engaging with those, and to be able to do that, you need to be able to say, oh, and by the way, we can drill into a lot of detail. We can explain how everything comes together. We can go down to the lowest level of detail with examples. But you only do that by demonstrating value quickly. So I think the next thing is to go for quick wins. And you start saying, hey, we've done some things. So people often think about productionizing everything you do with data, but the value of data is there whether you build a production system or not. So if you've got two sets of customers and you're thinking, well, you know, maybe there's some interest from Group A buying or using product B, it's very easy to just take those two sets of data as a one-off exercise, merge them together, identify which customers you can cross-sell to, and go chase those customers. You don't need it to be a production system to do that. If that then generates value, you can automate it on the back and do everything else. But everyone thinks about building big, cumbersome warehouses and data lakes up front, and that needn't be the starting point for some of these things.
That's really interesting, isn't it, that you kind of go from such a big picture objective to just kind of implementing small parts, getting wins from it, I guess creating use cases. If it works, brilliant, you implement it into production. And if it doesn't, then you try your next quick win, I guess. And would it be similar situation, for example, I know that when you're at Regis, you the data transformation that you implemented led to 34% increase in margin, which is massively impressive from a data team and using technology. It's such a big accolade. Was it the same kind of situation there?
Yes, I think what we had were 3,000 offices around the world, and each one of them was run as an individual office. And so what we did was to capture all the data, that we needed to view them all. And we started looking at the KPIs, looking at all the issues around how much it would cost to run those places, what products customers were using, how much revenue was being generated, how much profit there was from each type of product and service, putting that into one place. And as soon as you did that, it became obvious that when you did comparisons like the cost of photocopying in one particular office was way out of line with everyone else, and you realize at that point that that office was not charging customers for the use of its photocopying where everyone else was. So suddenly you realize spikes in the data, you validate those things, and you can go fix. And so, you know, there was a 20,000 bill every year for photocopying. It should have been charged back and should have been, you know, a £60,000 revenue opportunity. Similarly, things like one particular office location, someone set up a call center in one of those offices. The charge rates for use of phones was relatively cheap, and had everyone known they were going to be a call center and be on the phone all the time, the charges probably would have been different. So when you look at things like that, you realize that you do have to get into that detail. But really, you find that by doing, you know, the exception reporting, by looking at what people do and how they do it, and measuring those costs, finding out exemplar clubs that are doing really well or exemplar venues, and understanding why they do well, and then say, so we've got the insights to what the problem is, but we know how these places are fixing it. Now apply that to everyone. And so what you end up doing is not only to do the reporting, but then to follow up on the actions to say, well, you know, they did the following things, but you have to track whether those actions actually generated the outcome you're expecting, which is either reduction in cost or improvement in revenue or something. And if they didn't, you'd try something else. So it has to be a closed loop to check whether the actions you took afterwards had an impact. So I think it's kind of three stages: insights, then identifying what actions you need, and then measuring the impact. And if it didn't work, try something different and keep iterating, because you're not going to get it right first time. But as you do that, you apply those learnings across 3,000 offices, and suddenly you realize how you can get that scale of improvement.
That's so interesting. And it sounds so simple, like you say, the photocopying example, it just sounds so obvious, but obviously was a massive impact kind of globally, like say across 3,000 offices. That makes a really big difference, doesn't it? And from a team perspective, how would that work from a kind of team setup? Would you have different teams looking at different segments of that data and then actioning it? Or does it kind of filter through different teams and from that kind of coherent team strategy that we were talking about earlier?
Yeah, I think you end up with different elements of a team. So you would end up with those who were looking initially at the requirements. So what are the thing? What are the data sets, and where do we get them from? And make it, you know, just so the biggest challenge, I guess, when you start this is making sure you've got access to the data. So that's almost number one challenge. The second one is then bringing it together in, you know, dashboards and reporting, and that requires consistency. So you get straight into definitions. What is the definition of an office? You may have a location which has multiple offices, and actually, which one do you report on? Is it the location where there may be three different offices, or is it an office? So definitions, get the reporting right. Understanding, you know, making sure you've got the right people within those offices aligned to, you know, the offices. So that's all about going to the finance systems, mapping that data back to the club, making sure you map revenues back to that level. So when you've done all of that, then you, and this is where joining multiple data sets becomes valuable, that you suddenly get the finance cost, the revenue cost, and the activities going on, customer visits and things. That's what suddenly all comes to life when you compare, you know, revenues with costs with customer activity, and you suddenly get that. So then that's a good BI team. Then the next bit is working with the operations people who will say, yeah, we'd like to do that, but, you know, working with our customers, you know, we don't want to affect our customers' enjoyment of our facilities. So, you know, how do we actually implement these things? So I think to be able to take from insights to get value, you've got to have operations teams that you work with. So those are the people who run the operations across the business, and they've got to want to change them and improve them. And if they don't, you're stuck at that point.
Yeah. Stuck with great insights, but no way to action them.
Yep.
And I guess like we were talking before, that coherent strategy, if everyone in the business understands the value that if you were talking to your operations team at Regis and said, we can increase our margins by 34% here if you just help us implement these actions based on my data team's insights, I guess, how could they say no? And if you could speak to them about all of the opportunities, then I guess it seems almost like a no-brainer if you talk from those kind of bigger picture objectives that you've agreed with those CFOs and CEOs, then I guess no one can really argue against it, can they?
No, but I think there is a natural cynicism by people. We don't believe this will work or whatever. So I think you need to win the hearts and minds over with doing that. And if you find one or two people who naturally are looking for something to help them in their job, so an operations person who's saying, I want to make these changes, I just don't know, and then suddenly you use them as an ally, then natural competition helps other people go, oh, they're doing a good job, they're getting rewarded for this, we want to do the same. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it becomes about following the the rich seams of data and value, not necessarily trying to push on closed doors all the time. Those doors will become easier to open later when you've had some successes.
Yeah, and if you create those ally relationships as early as possible, I guess you can really leverage those to push forward, and your quick wins will become quicker, and your outcomes, you'll get to the end of your goals a lot sooner than if you were kind of battling against cultural disagreements all the time. So yeah, no, that sounds really interesting. And I guess the types of issues that any business that's implementing change across any different types of teams, whether it's data, whether it's software, it's always a common problem. But looking at bigger picture, building good relationships and taking those kind of fast steps to implement that change is really important. Yeah. So that sounds brilliant. I think it's been such an interesting conversation. I mean, huge accolades that you've had in your career, and I'm sure you'll do the same at Rank. Thank you so much for talking through these today. One final question for me. If any of the listeners want to hear more about anything that you've talked about today, can you recommend any further resources or any recommending readings around any of the topics that we've discussed?
There's no one place for all of these things, but I think, you know, I would say the things to pick up on are certainly around the how to produce a good data strategy. So I think that's the first thing, is find a good resource, try and find a strategy that's been done before, try and find someone, if you don't have a strategy in the organization, try and find someone who'll do that. Sure that you, and this isn't a reading thing, but this is making sure you understand what the customer journeys are in your organization, because those are the touch points where people use data. So understand those and work with people, because they are the bottlenecks and they're the areas that data will add value. And I think understand, most people start with the technology. I absolutely wouldn't do that. So you don't need to know what technology you need to do when you start this. You need to understand what the biggest problems are. So reading the financial reports, reading the overall business strategy, whether it is about increasing revenues or bringing out new products or whatever, and align what you're saying to those things. So I think other than the strategy piece, I think most people have many of those elements. And by engaging a data community, you know, talk to them, because they're the people who will have all of the business cases that they want to implement but don't know how to because they don't have the data. So they will give you all the material you need to be successful if you engage those people and use them as extended team.
Brilliant. No, that's great advice. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. So thank you for taking part in the podcast today. It's been great chatting with you. Wishing you the best of luck for the Tech Leaders Summit Awards for I think it's September,
it is
it?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so fingers crossed we'll have you as the data leader of the year 2019. So I hope that all goes well. And thank you for taking part in Ventura's Voice today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Anna. Okay.
Thanks, Simon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this Ventura's Voice podcast. You can find any resources mentioned on the show in the show notes on our website. If you enjoyed the show and want to hear more, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. We also have a Slack community, which you can join via a link on our homepage at venturi-group.com. Thanks for tuning in and look forward to seeing you again soon.